So I mentioned a few weeks ago that I wanted to take up one other area of Avos, and we'll do that today, learning the Chumashim. And next Monday, God willing, we'll learn a little of Megillas Rus in anticipation of Shavuos and in honor of everyone named Ruth at the table.
Uh-huh.
All right?
Well, unless you could fight with the same word about you.
Well, we'll have to try that then, that's all. Now, the Indian I wanted to take up is not actually from Maseches Avos, but as we read Pirkei Avos every Shabbos, there are two Mishnayos that are bookends to every parak we read. One Mishnah of Kol Yisrael Yeshem Chelek Olam Haba, and the second of Rabbi Chanan Ben Akasha Me'aretz HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zakos Es Yisrael. So I want to understand those Mishnayos, and especially why we what they mean and why we say them every week. In fact, they're among the most famous Mishnayos that we have because they are found and recited on a variety of occasions, especially Rabbi Chanan Ben Akasha Me'aretz. But Rav HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zakos Es Yisrael, that we say almost as a matter of course, after learning as an Agadatah, in order to permit the recitation of Kadosh Rabbanon. In fact, that's why Rashi says in Avos, we append it to Pirkei Avos as well, so we'll say it additionally. But of course, the Mishnayos are more significant than that. It's not just a tool for Kadosh Rabbanon. And I want to understand. The first Mishnah is taken from the very end of Maseches Sanhedrin. In the Vilna Shas, the Mishnayos transpose Eilehena Nechnokin and the Perek Chelek in the Seder Mishnayos, but in the Vilna Shas, Chelek is last. And the Mishnah is found on Sanhedrin Daf Sadi Amar Aleph. Ko Yisrael Yeshim Chelek Olam Haba. All Israel has a share in the world to come. Shenemar, Pasuk says in Yeshayo, Ve'amech Kulam Tzadikim, your people are all righteous. Le'olam Yishu Oretz, they will forever inherit the land. Netzer Mata'ai, they are the branch of my plantings. Ma'asei Adai L'histo'er, my handiwork in which to take pride. Thank you. We just finished our readings. But this as well.
That's it?
Oh, okay. That's all.
That's all. It's on page 544, but that's all right. People can look in that too. No, it's in order just to verify that I actually read it as I did. You could check. So all these are the share in the world to come. So first we have to define our terms. And it's important to know because these are the Ikar Hadash. In fact, the Rambam in his Perish HaMishnayos to Perik Chelek introduces what became known as the 13 principles of the Rambam. It's in Chelek. Because if every Jew ostensibly has a share in the world to come, we have to know exactly what makes a person a Jew and what qualifies such a person for the world to come. The first question is going to be, what is Olam Haba? What exactly is the world to come? So here, interestingly enough, there's a very famous Machlokas Rishonim, a Machlokas between the Ramban and the Rambam. The Ramban says that Olam Haba, the world to come, is the world of Tchias HaMesim, the world of resurrection that comes into effect after the Messianic era. So by to come, he says that world is not yet in existence because we haven't yet been zocha to be as Mashiach. Mashiach hasn't come. If Mashiach hasn't come, we have not yet had the resurrection of the dead. And therefore, that world, Olam Haba, has not yet arrived. Olam Haba, the world, literally, to come. In that world, the Ramban says, body and soul will reunite, but on a much higher level of existence. It won't be life as we know it today. Part of it will be, but in a very important and profound sense, it won't be. We'll be nourished not by food or drink, as the Gemara says elsewhere, in the world to come, there's no achilo, there's no shtio, there's no eating and drinking. Rather, it's just tzadikim yoshrim, v'atrasem v'arkia, v'nenim iziv ashchino. The righteous sit with their crowns on their heads, and they bask in the radiance of the divine presence. So how are we nourished? The same way Moshe Rabbeinu was at Sinai. Almost as if the body merges into the soul, and we become spiritual existences. Now we have bodies, of course, but it's not the same as it was before. But the Ramban posits that even the nature of Bechira will change, that we'll be much more inclined to the good, like Adam was before he sinned. We'll be inclined to the good, and therefore we'll be able to achieve a higher level of existence. But Olam Haba is this world. This world, but or the world to come, but it takes place in, amongst the world of the living. So Kol Yisrael Yeshem Chev Olam Haba, according to Ramban, will mean every Jew has a share in that world. Every Jew has the potential to achieve that world. Now the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam disagrees, and it's a very sharp disagreement. The Rambam, of course, preceded the Ramban by more than a half century. He said that Olam Haba is the Olam HaNeshamos, what the Rishonim call elsewhere the world of souls, that is to say the world after death. So that's Olam Haba, the world to come, only because in the life of the individual person it's to come, because it's the world after death. But it's already in existence. Since the people have died, of course, they exist in Olam Haba. So according to Ramban, that world, Olam Haba, doesn't exist yet. That will come. According to the Rambam, that world already does exist. He says that in this world, there's of course Yom HaMashiach, there's the Messianic era, and there's Tzias HaNesim, there's resurrection for the righteous as well, and the righteous live normal physical lives having already benefited from Olam Haba, from the world of Neshamos. They come back in a perfected state, they're able to perfect themselves even more, and then according to the Rambam, they die. Even in Tchiyat HaMesim, it doesn't mean eternal life, but we die eventually in any event, because the goal is to exist in the world to come, in Olam Haba, the world of Neshamos, in the world of a pure soul. And that's where man finds his ultimate reward. So just to phrase it in a slightly different way, according to Ramban, the highest level that a person can reach is the soul's reunification with the body in purity after the Messianic era when the resurrection comes. That's the highest level. It's almost, you could say, it's this world, but a little into the future. According to the Rambam, the highest level a person can reach is not the reunification of the soul with the body, but rather it's the existence of the perfected soul alone in the world of souls in the Olam HaNeshamos. That basic machlokas exists. So now we understand that the Ramban is Nishar Gmul. The Rambam is here in Chelek as well as elsewhere in his writings. Of course, the question we want to know is how to get there. However you paskin, or there's nothing that's a plaque in the area, but however we hold, how does a person get there? And who gets there? As the Mishnah says, Kol Yisrael Eishim Chelek L'Mabo. All Israel has a share in the world to come. Many of the Mefarshim say, you know, they darshan every word of the Mishnah, because it's the Mishnah. Chazal used no extraneous language. So why does it say Kol Yisrael, and not just Yisrael? Yisrael Yeshem Chelek, all Israel? If you think about it, even grammatically, if you say Israel and all Israel, it's the same thing. So they say, Rav Vadya says and others, that the Kol means even non-Jews, righteous non-Jews have a share in the world to come. How do we see that? Because the Mishnah itself lists a number of people who did not have Arp Hediotos, Ein Lahem Chela, Lolam Abba, they have no share in the world to come. Among them mentioned is Bilam. Bilam wasn't Jewish. So if Bilam, who wasn't Jewish, the Mishnah points out, had no share in the world to come, then certainly, but perforce, non-Jews who are worthy do have a share in the world to come. So that would be Kol Yisrael. But of course, that's not the intention of the Mishnah. That's just a diyuk we could make from the Mishnah. What is the Mishnah saying? That all Israel has a share in the world to come. What's a chelek? So we all know it's like you cook food. There are portions and there are portions. There are small portions, there are medium-sized portions. There are large portions too. That's the vehicle we have from the story of Goldilocks and the Three Bears. You have different portions. Every Jew is a chelek in the world to come. But every Jew's chelek is not going to be the same size. It's going to be based on that particular person's, the Rambam's language, chokhmaso verov masov, the wisdom that he or she attains, as well as the abundance of good deeds in that person's life, meaning to the extent the person is able to perfect his soul in this world, that is the chelek that that person will have in Olam Habo. Now, the Mishnah goes on to say that not every Jew has a chelek in Olam Habo once they arrive there. There's certain Jews who do not have a share in the world to come. And there's a whole list, unfortunately. And the Rambam Hilchos Teshuva has an even longer list. Ha'omer ein tchias ha'mesu min ha'Torah, a person who says that there's no concept of resurrection from the Torah, a person who denies the divine origin of Torah, an apikaris, a person who denies other fundamental principles about Jewish life, about hashgachas, charbonish, and other things. So theoretically, every Jew is a share in the world to come. Practically, it's very possible that a particular Jew lose his share in the world to come. Now, the Mishnah here at the beginning of Chelek is, of course, following the previous prakim. The previous prakim speak about the previous parak was Elohim HaNechnokin. Remember, it's Maseches Sanhedrin, the laws of Sanhedrin, the laws of our judicial system. The previous parak dealt with those Jews who are strangled as a result by Beis Din. They're executed through strangulation as a result of their crimes. Previous parak, Eluhein Nisrafin, those Jews who are burnt. And unfortunately, it's a long list. In fact, the parak, the Masechta after Sanhedrin is Makos, those who receive Malkos for a couple hundred crimes that receive Malkos. So, of course, a person can read the Sanhedrin and become depressed. It's as if we're walking on a precipice, that if we just deviate and make a false move, everything is lost, not just our life in this world, but our life in the next world as well. Comes the Mishnah in Chelek then to reassure us that Kol Yisrael Yeshem Chelek Olam Ava, that every Jew has a share in the world to come. Now, when and how does a Jew achieve that share? So my great-grandfather, Olam Shalom, wrote a sefer on Avos called Osher Avos, and he says that's why this phrase is used, Kol Yisrael. Yisrael is a certain status. It's not just the name of our people. Yisrael means, literally, Yashar Kel, the upright of God. Or if you rearrange the letters, Sarei Kel, the princes of God. If a Jew lives as a prince or a princess, in the best sense, in a holy sense, if he lives as a Yashar, and now we see the context, if a Jew internalizes the Midos Tovos of Maseches Avos, then that Jew is a Yashar. Then we're Sharim, we're Sarei Kel, we're princes of God, and then we are Zocha to good in this world and the next world as well. And that is the Mishnah, that's the blessing that, in fact, the Torah gives us, that that share exists and it's waiting for us to seize. So my great-grandfather gave an interesting mashal that, I guess in context, was very apropos. Many times you find the Mishalim of different generations reflect the realities and the nuances of life of those generations. So he came to America in the late 1920s, and he gave the following Mishal in a sefer of a young immigrant from Europe who comes here to America, and he's given a certain amount of money by his father in order to make a living, to invest, and to survive. And instead he comes to a big city, has to be New York City, and there, coming from his shtetl, he's just amazed by everything that he sees. And very quickly he squanders it, because he is drawn to places of entertainment and activities and things he never even conjured in life in Europe. And before he knows it, all the money is gone. He wants to continue his enjoyable lifestyle, and he starts to borrow. And then he goes heavily into debt, and the creditors start pressing him, and he has nowhere to turn. And then he gets a telegram from Europe that his father died and left him a Yerusha. And the Yerusha is being sent by the administrator through the American consulate, whatever country it was, and it'll be sent to the consulate of the country here, and he can pick up the money. But his creditors get wind of the fact that now he has this a windfall, his inheritance coming to him, and they go at first to the consular office, and they claim the money, bring the judgments with them. and they take the money. And he comes the next day, the son, and he asks the consular official for his inheritance, and he's told, it's all gone. Your creditors preceded you by a day, and they took all the money. So it is to say, Kol Yisrael Yeshem Chelek L'Olam Abo. Every Jew is a share in the world to come. But it's possible to squander that share. If you squander the share, then it's gone. And note the very precise language of the Mishnah. It doesn't say, as we interpret it, Kol Yisrael Yeshem Chelek De'Olam Abo, in the world to come, which how we normally translate it, rather Yeshem Chelek Le'Olam Abo, to the world to come. That is to say, every Jew is given the formula, given the resources, given the assets by which he can find his chelek and earn his chelek in Olam Habo. If he chooses to take whatever chelek he has, or the opportunities that he has, and squanders them, then it's going to be lost entirely. It's a very interesting thing, you know, about Olam Habo, because you have a list of people who are deprived of Olam Habo, who forfeit their existence in Olam Habo because of a variety of sins they commit, like you see, a person who denies the resurrection, denies the divine origin of Torah, etc. What about a rotzeach? What about a killer? No. And you see, Eloheinu Nechnokim, Nisrafin, all these people, so misosam zoi kaparosam. When they're executed, that's their atonement. They've atoned for their sins through their death in this world, and there's zocha lechayol mabo. All right? There's zocha lechayol mabo. This was made very graphic in a dramatic encounter at the Gemara in, I think it's in Bava Metzia, I think it's Afsamachab Amr Aleph, relates about David HaMelech. So David HaMelech, you know, had the whole incident with Bathsheba. And he walked into the Beis Medrash one day, and he asked them, what are they darshaning? So one character said to him, we're learning the laws of a person who sleeps with an Ashes Ish, a person who commits adultery. And David was embarrassed, because it was only meant to embarrass him. So he said that you should know something. Someone who sleeps with an Ashes Ish is Chayv Misa, but he has a chelek olam haba, but a malm pnei chaver v'rabim ain lohem chelek olam haba. He said, someone who commits adultery, he pays for his crime, but he has a share in the world to come, as opposed to someone who publicly shames another person, he has no share in the world to come. All right, that silenced that whole mahalach, that approach in the Beis Medrash. But you see, it's strange though. Because relatively, what are we talking about? A person denies he has a wrong concept of Olam Haba, of say Torah and Hashemayim, and for that he forfeits eternal life, whereas another person can kill someone or ruin a family, and he has a share in the world to come. Something seems a little dissonant to us. The penalties are not commensurate with the crimes as we would see them. So the answer is that it's not so, that the sins in this world are physical sins, and physical sins in this world are limited. Granted, one can do them, and it's horrible, and we do tshuva for them, but in fact, they're sins that are basically limited to this world, as opposed to intellectual sins. Intellectual sins linger and dominate the person, and certainly in many cases, they destroy whole generations. A generation can be ruined because of one bad idea. So in fact, a rotzeach, a murderer, has no share in the world to come. But an Oved Avodah Zarah, has a share in the world to come. But an Oved Avodah Zarah, no. A person that worships idols, idolater, he has no share in the world to come. A person who distorts the crown of the human being. I remember the phrase I quoted from the end of the Gemara in the Tainus. Tzadikim yosh matrasein berosheim. The crowns are on their heads. Person who wears his head like a crown, develops his mind in line with God's ideas, that person is perfected. That person is zochel chayel mabom. But one who depreciates the crown, who tarnishes the crown, doesn't even wear the crown for that matter, distorts it, a person who has distorted ideas, so that has a greater effect, and has no share in the world to come. It is to say, after death, a person can gain atonement for many sins, but not for corrupt ideas. Then it's too late. What's the pasuk? Kol yisrael yeshem chela l'olam haba, shenemar v'amech kulam tzadikim. Your people are entirely righteous. L'olam yirshu aretz. They'll inherit the world forever. Neitzer mata'ai, the plantings of my, the branch of my plantings, ma'asei odai l'hispo'er, the work of my hands, in order to take pride in which God himself is glorified, l'hispo'er. So Tiferes Yisrael asks a very good question. You know, call yourself Yisrael Kolom Abba, fine. V'amech kulam tzadikim, your people are entirely righteous. He says what we're thinking. Says, unfortunately, we all live amongst Jews, and we know they're not all righteous. So how could the pasuk say, kulam tzaddikim, they're all righteous? So Tiferes Yisrael says that since we know it's not so, it can't be referring to this world. It has to refer to Olam Haba. That's the raya in the pasuk. V'amech kulam tzaddikim, your people are entirely righteous, because Olam Haba is populated only by righteous people. That is to say, people who are perfected sufficiently that their souls can exist in the next world. It's a natural process, almost. Their souls are perfected enough so they can exist in the next world, again, with different madrigos, different levels of existence. But that's where we find v'amech kulam tzadikim. There is a klal, we're all perfected. And neitzer matza la'olam yirshu aretz. The eretz there, is there at the chayim, is the world after this world, the world of the completely living. Neitzer mata'ai, the branch of my plantings. What is God's planting? So he said, the very Tisro, that the branch of God's planting is the soul. God implants a soul in every human being, and that soul is what nurtures us. That soul craves fulfillment in this world. It needs to be developed. It's developed through Torah and Maisim Tovim, and then the work of my hands, which is the human being, body and soul, that's l'hispo'er, in order to bring pride, in order to glorify God. If indeed that's the case, if we bring glory to Kadosh Baruch Hu, then we merit the world or the existence of v'amech kulam tzadikim. We'll be only in the company of the righteous, which is again how the Gemara describes Olam Haba, or the world of the souls, or as Ramban would have it, the world which follows the Messianic era, when all mankind will be perfected as well. So this Mishnah is really the introduction to Avos, because it reminds us of the stakes and gives us encouragement. In fact, I forget who said it now, that one of the Mefarshim said that you read through Pirkei Avos, and you study the Midos Tovos and the emotional perfection, the philosophical perfection of these great Tanoim, and one wonders, how can anyone achieve that level? How is it possible? Maybe for us it's not possible, but it doesn't matter. Because Kol Yisrael Yeshem Chelek Olam Haba, since all Jews have a share in the world to come, we don't have to be like Shimon HaTzadik or Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. It's enough to be perfected us. If we're able to take our potential and develop it as we can, then in fact we're zocha to a chelek in Olam Haba. That's the opening Mishnah. The closing Mishnah is taken from Maseches Makos on Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Beis. It's the end of the Mishnayos in Makos. What's that? There is hope for us. That's correct. There is hope for us. That's true. Well, most of us, anyway. There is hope for us. So, very famous Mishnah. Rabbi Hananya ben Akasha said, Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu l'zakos es Yisrael. God wished to confer merit on the Jewish people. L'fichoch, therefore, hir bolohem Torah u'mitzvos. Therefore, he gave us Torah and mitzvos in abundance. Shenemar, Hashem chafetz l'ma'an tzidko, yagdil Torah v'yadir. God desired for the sake of its righteousness. So some say tzidko means his righteousness. Others say it means our righteousness. for the sake of our quest for perfection, Yagdil Torah, he made the Torah great, but Yagdil means he magnified it. He multiplied it. Here, Bolohem gave us numerous opportunities, Yagdil Torah v'yadir, so the Torah should be made great and be made glorious as well. We have Torah and mitzvos in abundance, and that is true. We have Torah and mitzvos in abundance. The Torah itself is infinite. Aruch omeretz yido rechova min yom. The breath of the Torah is just awesome. When I say depth, I mean the intellectual depth of the Torah is awesome. So much so that, of course, you know, we can't possibly ever learn all of it, as much as we try. I think I told you a story once, or maybe said it in another forum, that right here, about 2 years ago, I hosted a seventh grade class from Dwight Morrow School in Englewood. They're on their religion tour. So they came to the shul, they're going to all the religions of Bergen County, so they came here, and I sat them here, and I just walked them to the Beis Medrash. And I told them, you know, where all the different Sfarim are from, and the different ages when they were written, etc. And one of the kids, brash young whippersnapper, said to me, "Have you read all of these?" And I said, "No." And in fact, it's not possible for a human being to read all of these, as far as I know. But nonetheless, it's there for the taking. The Torah is infinite in its breadth, and similarly, mitzvos encompass every possible area of life. So, Ratzon Kodesh Baruch Hu Zakos Es Yisrael, God wanted to confer merit upon us, Lefichoch Hirbo Lahem Torah Mitzvos, so he gave us Torah and mitzvos in abundance. Torah mitzvos in this context are two separate spheres. Torah means intellectual development. If a Jew wants to sharpen his or her mind, there's a whole Torah out there. There's a whole Torah to be studied. Very often where I'm driving with the Karen to somewhere, back from somewhere, to say, "Where are you rushing?" So I always say to her, there's a whole Torah to be learned. There's no time to waste. The intellectual development that's available to a Jew is infinite. But so too mitzvos in the realm of moral development. Moral development. The mitzvos come to perfect every aspect of human life. So if God wants to confer merit upon us, it's done in Torah and mitzvos. Now how exactly is it done? Rashi says here in Makos, Adaf Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, Rosakos Brochel Zakos Es Yisrael Kedei Shehu Mekablim Sechar B'mashemonin Atzma Min Averos. The way God multiplied the mitzvos in order to give us merit is that he enabled us to receive reward for refraining from numerous averos. That is to say, seems pretty simple. We receive schar for not sinning. All right? So here we are learning Torah, so we're having the schar of Talmud Torah, which is infinite, immeasurable in human terms, but almost as importantly, we're not sinning. That really is a great merit, that we have the opportunity not to sin. So much so that earlier in the Mishnah derives from Pasuk, Asher Yasa Osam Adam V'Chai Bohem, Hakola Yoshev V'lo Ovar Avera, Nosnu Lo Sachar Ka'osa Mitzvah. A person who sits and does not sin, he receives a reward as if he's doing a mitzvah. Wow, that's not bad. That would be a real zechus. The real zechus, because we have 365 lavin in the Torah, 365 mitzvahs los asay, we only have 248 mitzvahs asay, positive commandments, 365 prohibitions, so in fact, a yoshev batel, a person who's doing nothing, he's on the right side of the ledger, because at least he's not violating any of the lavin of the Torah. Well, if that were true, it would be great, but it's not quite true. Otherwise, one would think that we can sleep through life and become perfected souls by not sinning. So it's not quite true. The Gemara says in Kiddushin, Daf Lamed Tesam and Beis, that when the Mishnah here speaks of Kol Yoshev V'lo Avar Avera, it's not talking about a Yoshev Batel. It's talking about, and Rashi explains it there to mean, a person who refrains from sin when the opportunity presents itself. such a person, it receives schar ka'osa mitzvah. But it's not someone who is not presented with the opportunity, or is sitting passive, or asleep, and letting life pass. But nonetheless, there is a certain madrega that exists, and I guess there are some who make that point, that indeed, a person who's yoshev batel, it's as if he is not doing anything harmful to his soul. He's in ultimate neutrality. He's in neutral mode. But he's not perfecting his soul. That's not an option for life, but it's certainly better than the alternative, which is to be in an overt, active state of sin. So that's what Rashi says here. But what then does it mean? What exactly is the ribui? What's the zchus that God gave us tor mitzvos in abundance? So Rashi continues, is lefichach hir balahen so hayetzorach litzavos kama mitzvos v'kama zaros al shkotzim v'nevelos. He says that God gave us many mitzvos that he really didn't necessarily have to command us. Mitzvos that to abstain from things which are repulsive to us, like eating insects or reptiles or carrion. She'en lecha odom she'en okotz bohen. There's no person who's not disgusted by it. And there are people who eat ants, you know.
Right.
I know. Chocolate-covered ants, right. Yeah, shows you what a level we're on. I know. Yes, as a matter of fact, I remember last summer walking through some of the markets in China, all right? They have things on sale there that are just unimaginable, and some people are eating them on a stick. I won't go into any details, but that's right. But when mankind was a little more refined in the Middle Ages, Rashi was able to say there are things she'ein l'cha adam she'ein kotz bohen, that the things that people are disgusted by, the Torah says you can't eat them, reptiles and other things. Ela kadesh yikavu schar, al sheparshin lehem. Nonetheless, why then were they commanded? So that we should receive reward for abstaining. See, even though our constitution would tell us, our emotional constitution would dictate that we not partake of these so-called delicacies that you find on a stick in certain parts of the world, people munching in the street. Nonetheless, we abstain, so we fulfill a mitzvah, and we receive sechar for it. But why should that be? Reb Chaim Shmulevitz asked in the Sichas Musar, why should that be? The fact is you're not serving God, right? You're not serving God. If you don't eat something that's repulsive to you, so you're not really serving God. So what's the schus involved? So he explains, he gives a mashal. Let's say you put something before a person that they abhor, like chopped liver before me. No one, the person, now you've been alive, get me to eat chopped liver. I know. My grandmother's had a hard time with that, but I still abstain. Now let's say you put that, I'll use something else, but whatever, let's say you put horse meat in front of someone, and he's not going to eat it, but you tell him it's not only horse meat, but it's also laced with poison. So Chaim Shmulevitz said, now why isn't he going to eat it? Is he not going to eat it because it's horse meat, or because it's poison? It's poison. That will be his primary concern, the primary reason for not eating it. He says that's exactly what Chazal are telling us here, that once the Torah prohibits shkotzim, remosim, nevelos, etc., then we're not eating it because it's repugnant to us. We're not eating it because the Torah prohibits it to us. Harayo, eventually some people will like it and market it and put it in boxes and people buy it and send it off to their mothers for Mother's Day, for all we know. Eventually that will happen. So the reason why we abstain is not because this or that generation is emotionally predisposed to abhorring that item. It's rather because HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us not to eat it, and therefore it's a benefit. That's the schus, that maybe we are preternaturally indisposed to that item. Nonetheless, Rav HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zakos Es Yisrael, Lefichach Hir Bolohem Torah Mitzvos. God did implant in the Torah system things from which we would naturally wish to abstain. In fact, the Tiferes Yisrael says here as well that by Torah, we mean the rational mitzvos of the Torah, the mitzvos sichlios, mitzvos shaseichel mechayev la'asoson o lo la'asoson, that human reason will be able to tell us to either do or not to do. Mitzvos sichlios, that you find this dichotomy in the Rishonim quite often, what the world calls natural law. Not to kill, not to steal, not to be violent, etc. All those things are natural. You don't need the Torah because the seichel mechayivatan. Our intelligence, our common sense, our reason would tell us those things should be shunned. So that's Torah, mitzvos sichlios, the rational mitzvos. But mitzvos, the Tiferes Hashol said, in this context means the mitzvos, what Reb Sadrigon called mitzvos shimios, revealed laws, like chukim, shatnez, kashrus, etc. Those mitzvos that but for their commandment to us, we would not think of them, and we would not perform them, or abstain from them, if they're mitzvos, I say, and therefore the nations of the world poke fun at them, because they don't understand why we would do it. You know, there are people in the world, many Jews unfortunately, who only see in the Torah the Ten Commandments. That's the whole Torah. Now, the Ten Commandments, you know, they would think they observe all of them. The fact is they don't, because what do you do with Shabbos? Shabbos is the mitzvah too. A lot of halachas on Shabbos. So, mele, keep it avayim, you know, avad azara, not to kill, not to steal, adultery, we all recognize that. Los achmod, not to covet. The Torah doesn't distinguish between the Shabbos and the Tirzach and the Sachmod. It's all part of the Ten Commandments too. So in fact, you see that it's not so simple to make those dichotomies and even to say, just observe these and not those. Because the Torah is a holistic system. It targets every aspect of human personality. And therefore, even those mitzvos, which to us are rational mitzvos, we don't observe them because they're rational mitzvos. We only observe them because they were taught to us at Sinai. At Sinai, God commanded us to observe them. The Rambam says, very interestingly, I've forgotten that this Rambam even exists, it's in the his parish of Mishnayos on the Seches Makos. The Rambam says, Rosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zaglus Eshe Shalafich HaChir Bo Lehem Torah Mitzvot, he gave us Torah and Mitzvot in abundance. Why in abundance? So Rambam says that if a person does one mitzvah of Taryag, of the 613, Koraui v'chahogen, appropriately and completely and perfectly in line with what was commanded, v'le yishatef ima kavona mikavona sa'olam b'shum panim, and he doesn't include or dilute that performance of the mitzvah with any ancillary or ulterior intention from some personal motivation that he might have to do it. Ela sheyase oso lishmo me'ava, but he does that one mitzvah for its own sake, simply out of love of God, hinei zocha bo l'chaye holom abo. Therefore, he merits life of the world to come. What does it mean? The Rambam says that every person has to find one mitzvah, which is unique to them. And that's what the Mishnah is saying. God wanted to confer merit upon us. He gave us an abundance of Torah mitzvos. Why an abundance? If there's so many mitzvos, 613, so ostensibly, one every person will be able to find the one mitzvah which is most attractive to them. One mitzvah that they can do perfectly, wholeheartedly, without any other human considerations trampling on that observance. And you find that in life, and it's always, you see, the Bali Musar suggests such a thing, that people find a mitzvah that's really theirs. Not theirs that no one else can do it, but theirs that they focus on it, and they do it wholeheartedly. Like Chesed from the Chesed Committee, or wholehearted. Or people will do, they'll take on Hachnasas Kala, Hachnasas Orchim. There's some people, Meshuga for Shiluach HaKein, they find, you know, eggs and mother birds and whatever. Yes, it is true. you. You know, it's a machlokas rishonim. It's a machlokas in the Gemara Chulin. Whether the mitzvah exists if, in fact, you don't want the bird, you don't want the eggs. All right? I fell the other day in shul, invited me to his house to come. He's sending away the mother bird. So I said, do you want the eggs? He said, no. But there is a shita that nonetheless is still a mitzvah. So I said, I personally hold that if you don't want the eggs, it's cruel to send away the mother. Why would you do that? But everyone does their own thing in TNX. I just tell them my thing. I politely decline the invitation. But that's why, Lufichach hir bo lahem Torah mitzvah. It could be Talmud Torah, it could be any, tefillin, tzedakah, whatever it is. Everyone has one mitzvah. We all have to do all the mitzvahs as best we can. But we're also real, and that is, we're not perfect. So not everyone is going to do every mitzvah, koroi v'chahogen, and only with pure kavanos. But one mitzvah, that you can find, the Rambam says. And that's why God blessed us with a system of ribui mitzvahs. There's so many mitzvahs that al karchacha, one is able, one must, and can find a mitzvah that's unique to his or her personality. That's here below. The Chinuch says something else. The Chinuch quotes this mission as well, and in a very famous passage in the Sefer HaChinuch, he said, in Mitzvah Tev Zayin, he says, V'da, ki ha'odam nifal kafi pulosov, a person operates or is shaped according to his actions. V'chol machshavos libo nimshachos tamir achar ma'asov shehosek bahem. And his thoughts and his mind are drawn after those deeds in which he is active, in tov v'imra, whether for good or for bad. So the more we do things, the more we ingrain in ourselves character traits, not just deeds, but character traits. The Chinuch says, and he says, the whole purpose of the mitzvahs of the Torah, repetition engenders change. Change may be gradual, but the change does take effect, and repetition of deeds is what shapes the human personality. To do something again and again, that's what shapes the human personality. Afilu rasha gomer belovavo, even a person complete rasha, and he's only involved in instinctual gratification, the thoughts of gratification, the whole day. If his spirit will be moved, and he'll just do, he'll act, with hasmada, with the diligence, with assiduousness, involve himself in Torah mitzvahs, Afilu shalol shem shamayim, even if his original intentions are not completely pure, miyad yatel maseh hatov, immediately he'll incline to the good. All right, that's what we're supposed to give tzedakah every day, even a pruta, because we become habituated to do good things. It's a question: should a person give, say, $365 one time, or a dollar a day? What's the answer? A dollar a day, because we shape our soul through actions. Umitoch shelo lishma bo lishma. Uvekoch masav yomis hayetzara. Over time, he'll be able to whittle down the impurities, the unruliness of his spirit. Ki acharei hapu'ulos nimshachim halavavos. A man's heart is drawn after his actions, his deeds. And the converse is also true. Afilu im yeh odam tzadik gamur, ulovavo yosher v'tomim, chofet v'tor v'mitzvos, personally completely righteous, and his heart upright and pure, and he desires tor mitzvos, im yasok tomim b'dvorm sheldofi, if he involves himself constantly in nonsense, all right, as if, derech mashal, a king forced him into some umanus raw. He says, L'sachek b'teatron, to be an actor in a theater. He could be a perfect tzaddik, but over time, it's going to whittle down his tikkus as well, and his personality will change, and it'll be different. And you find this in life, unfortunately. You have people who are, you think they're solid, and they're stable, and they get involved either in the wrong school, the wrong friend, wrong community, wrong activity, wrong profession, and they start speaking like everyone else and thinking like everyone else, and the change is so gradual they think they're not even changing. Sometimes they think they're growing, which is worse, but They don't even feel the transformation. It happens that gradually. But if it could happen for a Rasha to be a tzaddik, it could happen for a tzaddik as well. Yoshev l'zman ma'min azman mitzitkas libo lios Rasha gomer. Completely change. But kein amru chazal, that's what Chazal says, Rasha kadosh baruch hu l'zaklas es Yisrael, l'fichach hir b'lohem tor mitzvos. That's why God wish to confer merit upon us by giving us many mitzvos and a whole Torah. Kedei lahatvis bem kol machshavosov, v'dos bozeh kol asakeinu, lehetiv lono b'achariseinu. So we should be engaged in all our thoughts and all our activities that our end should be good. Kimitoch hapulos hatavos, anachun nefalim lios tovim mizochem l'chai ad. Because through good deeds, and the repetition of good deeds, that's how we become good people, and we merit the eternal life as well. That's what the Sefer Achinuch tells us. Since we're drawn after our deeds, our lives must be dominated by opportunities for Torah and mitzvos. And if indeed that's so, Rav Avadya here quotes a mashal from the Dubna Magid. Quotes a mashal from the Dubna Magid, which of course is also generational, almost a similar point, but we'll understand it. You had a very wealthy scion of a famous family, of a very wealthy family, whose father gave him money and told him, go make your fortune. Go to this distant town and buy merchandise wholesale, and then you'll bring it back here in order to make a parnasa, make a greater fortune here. So indeed he goes to the town where his uncle happens to live, and he goes to his uncle and tells him that my father gave me a stipend of this enormous sum of money, and I have to invest in a number of businesses and purchase merchandise. I'm going to go out tomorrow. Uncle says, fine. Next day, young man goes out, and as soon as he leaves the house, he's greeted by a merchant who gives him a wonderful opportunity for silk. And he finishes the transaction, and he finds someone else wants to sell him carpets. Finishes that, then someone wants to sell him electronics. Well, you know, I added that, because it's not the Dublin market, but you get the point. But within an hour, all his money is gone, and he has purchased all this merchandise, and he's ready to go back, and he's astounded, but of course he has no money for the trip back. So he goes to his uncle, and he says, it's amazing how successful I was. I was able to buy all this merchandise at good prices. So his uncle said to him, my son, I arranged this for you, you should know. I realize this is your first time in the big city, and you'll also be drawn to the allures of the city. And who knows what you would have done with the money that your father gave you. You would say, I don't have to buy the first day. The first day, I'll take in a show, I'll do this, I'll run around, I'll see the sights. I'll get involved in some of the pleasures of the big city. It's not necessary for me to do my business right away. So therefore, I went to the merchants before, and I told them to seize you as soon as you left my house, one after the other, so you'd have no opportunity to stray at all. So Magid said, that is the pshat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts us in a world which are filled with numerous havalim. An infinite number of havalim, of frivolities, not temptations, but ways to waste our time. A Starbucks on every corner, if you want. And 500 channels on the television. There's an infinite number of ways a person can just squander the time that we're given on earth. Baruch HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zakos Es Yisrael, God wanted to confer merit on the Jewish people, so we would be B'nai Olam Abba. God gave us Torah and mitzvos in abundance so that if we want, all we have to do is wake up in the morning and we have an opportunity to learn and to do mitzvos and to move out in chesed and grant that we need parnasa too, so there are the laws of business as well, of ethics and integrity. We can be surrounded by the presence of God the entire day, from the moment we wake until the moment we go to sleep. And that could be the thrust of our lives. But for the Havlei HaOlam, that are always looking to grab us into this shop, into this mall, into this entertainment, in order to take us away. That's the test that we're given. That's the opportunity. God gave us Torah and mitzvahs in abundance, more than we could possibly handle. So if only we had the will, we'll be able to involve ourselves only in holy pursuits and thereby attain the great spiritual reward, which is our chelek. So now we understand the bookends of the Mishnayos. The first mission of Kol Yisrael is really a mission of promise, of encouragement, that you shouldn't get discouraged either by all the potential pitfalls of Torah, the Avramis Basin and Malkus, etc., the whole legal system which can weigh a person down and cause us to live in fear, and so too by the specter of Masai Yagiu Masai L'Masai Avosai. I can't possibly be like the Avos, like Moshe Rabbeinu, or like the Kedoshim and Tahorim of prior Doros, like the Tanoim and Avos who tell us what Midos Tovos are. I can't possibly do it, so why make the effort? No. The first mission is a mission of hope and encouragement. Kol Yisrael Yeshem Chelek Olam Abo. Every Jew is a share in the world to come, so you have to take your Chelek and perfect it, refine it, expand it if you can. And then we'll be in a situation of Amech Kulam Tzadikim. And then after we've done that, after we've studied the Perek of Avos, then the Mishnah, if the first Mishnah is a mission of encouragement, the second mission of Rosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zachlus Es Yisrael, Lefichach Hir Balem Tar Mitzvos, that is a mission of challenge. That's not encouragement. That's a challenge to us. If indeed you have internalized the ideas of Avos, then now you know the way the world is set up and the opportunities that we are given. So carpe diem. Go seize the day and seize the mitzvah and seize the opportunities for divine service and become perfected people, and then your chelek and olam haba will be manifest. Those mishnas. Okay, thank you very much. And next week we will turn to Megillat Rut. Have a good day.